Blog Talk Radio.
You have made it to Stu and the Nun, an online radio show that looks to inform, educate, and hopefully make you laugh. Stu and the Nun is a show focused on national security, policy, politics, and selfless service. We do this by not only interviewing guests, but also sharing our perspectives and asking you, the listener, to interact with us on our show chat room, via our Facebook page, and on Twitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Stu and the Nun Radio. I'm your man, Stu, and I am here with you on this Tuesday evening for episode 41 of Stu and the Nun, and joined by none other than my brother from another mother, Mr. Toby Nun. Hello, Toby. How you doing?
My brother from another motherland. It is good to be live and on the air with our 41st episode of Stu and the Nun. Hard to believe, you know, another week, another episode. We're just racking them up. It's almost a year. We are 10 away from a year. How crazy is
are that? Yeah, I guess that is what we are. I think we only took 1 week off in January, and that was it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so how you doing? What you up to? Where are you at?
Well, I'm currently in the greater Houston area watching all the flooding that's going on. It's crazy. Lots of rain, lots of high water, but, you know, people's spirits seem to be high. It seems to be the spring of flooding, and everyone, is, you know, kind of trenched in and doing what they got to do to get through this hard time here. So it's kind of cool to be down and see people working hard and getting through it.
Wow, so you've been all over the place too. So you're down in Houston now. You're out west. You've been doing all kind of things.
Yeah, no, you know, the life of an entrepreneur. You stay busy. That's right. I was out in California last week working with the Mighty Oaks Warrior Programs and doing the Fight Club for Men out there at San Luis Obispo area of California, and came back just in time for Memorial Day. And then we're back out on the road doing what we do.
Mm. Are you sipping on anything tonight, as I am?
You know, I am sipping on something. And it, you know, before you pass judgment, you know, to make myself feel good and give myself a little tropical holiday and also what was available, I'm having a Bud Light Lime. It's refreshment with a twist.
It is. I'm not going to pass judgment. I am quite a fan of the Labatt Blue Lime, which I have some in my fridge. But to keep it, you know, keeping it real. But tonight I am sipping on a little Crown Royal Single Barrel, and part of their Single Berry Barrel Limited Series. So, yeah, I'm with you. But yeah, so we got a great show tonight, you know, I'm doing great. I am broadcasting from the Northern office up in upstate New York, and looking forward to a great interview with Mr. Michael Tuminelli, a longtime friend of mine and yours. And he recently involved with a new group called PartyOf6.org. So Mike's going to be on to tell us. I mean, he's a longtime veteran, multiple deployments, both as Army, as Air Force, and actually both, as all, also as a DA civilian. Man, he's been involved a lot. He's been on a show, our old shows a lot. He's been on this show some, tunes in regularly to listen. But he's going to be on to talk to us tonight about this group, PartyOf6.org, what they're trying to do in the state of New Jersey, what's going on with the Second Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights being infringed on up in the state of New Jersey. So it should be a pretty active show tonight, I think.
Well, I'm pretty excited. You know, one, Mike T is a longtime listener and a co-host and a repeat offender in terms of guesthood. I'm really interested to hear about Party of Six, you know, if it's anything like Party of Five. You know, a couple of my boyhood crushes came out of there, so this should be good entertainment. Plus, we're talking about guns, and who doesn't like talking about guns?
That's right. Well, there are some people that don't.
Even the people that don't like guns like talking about guns.
That's true. They like to slam them. They like to Katie Couric likes to just, edit some video about them and make them look like people don't have answers. But, you know, people do talk a lot about guns. But anyways, hey, before
that's
we get going
style.
Too much, what's that?
That's her style. That's her style.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? I do want to talk a little bit.
Well, everybody, that was Troy hanging up because he's basically rude. But we have a lot going on, and want to let everyone know how we're doing on the show. But lots going on this week. You know, we had a little bit going on recently. Everything from political outcry over the Memorial Day weekend, veterans and Trump bashing heads, and then the most important of national debates. One that should take up as much airtime on national news as possible. Should we shoot gorillas? I mean, really. You know, like, let's talk about something serious. There's always a naysayer. There's always an armchair quarterback. But welcome back, Troy. Happy that
Thank
you could
you.
Join us again.
Yeah, I just got dropped like a hot potato, let me tell you. That was quick. But, go on, continue. I hear you're talking about gorillas, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, before we get into a couple of things, because I'm actually going to rant a little bit on some Memorial Day stuff, but before we get into that, I really just find it so interesting, like, how people always have something to say, when they think they know best. And, I've seen, parts of the video now I've seen it probably 10 times. And in that video, with and without sound, the first thing that came to my mind as a natural-born protector is reduce the threat. And to me, I saw nothing but threatening and dangerous behavior out of a wild animal that's unpredictable and known for violence. And in terms of strength, far superior to the human being and much, much larger. And that tiny little boy was in immediate danger from the second he entered, that primate's domain. And we'll call it its domain, and how he got in there. Obviously that's relevant to the investigation that's going on, but it's really irrelevant to the outcome of what happened, and that's the putting down the gorilla. And I don't know of anyone that can rationally give me an argument to say, like, we should have done more to, like, help that gorilla live. One, that gorilla is not on the endangered list. So, for all the people out there saying, this majestic creature that there's so few left, we shouldn't kill him. Like, I heard Jack Hanna talking about hundreds of thousands of them alive. So to me, that sounds like, bigger than buffalo numbers. What's more valuable in our society, human life or primate life?
Right, right.
And, put it down.
Hold on a
Kill
second. What is going on here?
Yeah, it's like, that's not even good music.
I do not know where that is coming from. That is the, I don't even know. That just blew me away. I do not know where that sound just came from. I'm looking around my computer right now thinking, what possible website just threw that up on my thing. Anyways, I think it could have been an email. That is really annoying. Sorry, go on. That
no, like, there's. I mean, it's pretty evident to me that if you engage in, you know, the care of wild animals, there's a risk, and one of the risks that you take is that you will have to make a decision. You know, and it doesn't even have to be a wild animal. Let's go ahead and, like, you know, talk about Old Yeller. Like, Old Yeller had to be put down when he came in contact with a bad animal.
Right, right.
So,
no, I hear you. You know, I saw the thing too. I watched it. Mark's asking a question about the parent. There's a lot of stuff about the parents and all that kind of stuff. You know, how it happened and all that. I mean, I agree with you. They said, you know, I was watching one of the guys, animal experts today, you know, they said he can crush a green coconut with one hand. I mean, he could have squashed that kid's head in a half a second. And, you know, today Donald Trump was asked during one of his things about what he thought about it, you know, just because they want to ask everything in the world. And I think he put it well. It's like, hey, it could change in a second, because you wouldn't even have 30 seconds. A second, that animal could change. Nobody can predict how he reacts. And I agree with what I think is the consensus, which is it's a shame it had to happen. It's a shame it's a freak accident, just like it's a shame when a young life is taken out by a drunk driver, or it's a shame that 22 military kill themselves every day, or it's a shame that someone who has a promising life ODs on drugs. All those things are shame, right? It's a shame that abortions are done very late in term and people don't get them without even thinking about it, without any consideration, but still a shame. But the bottom line is the human life is worth more. We are humans. We are the top of the food chain. And we are all here to protect lives, and we should try and believe in the sanctity of life. So that's why it had to happen. But I read a story today. I put it up on my Facebook page, my personal, I think. This is kind of answer Mark's question. It was a lady who was right next door, right next to the person when the kid went missing. Her husband's one apparently heard screaming at the boy on, you know, telling him to calm down, you know, stay calm and stuff. And she was like, she was right there. And she said it happened so fast, and that kid slipped through, and he, I guess he flopped over the railing, she said. And he crawled through there so fast that she said she was afraid. She was yelling at her husband because he was about to go after the kid. And she was afraid he was going to fall into the 15-foot drop. And she said it happened so fast that nobody could grab him. The kid just, like, shuffled through the bushes real quick. And then apparently, you know, on the other side of the bushes or weeds was the drop, and he fell to 15 feet. And amazingly, you know, it looks like he just got a small concussion. I'm assuming it's from the drop. But, you know, it was just it's terrible.
Or the part where he got dragged and flung around like a rag doll. I mean,
right, right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like,
but
any of that. But, you know, yeah. I'm not laughing because I find it funny. I'm laughing because, you know, the fact that you and I, too, like, smart, intelligent, bald men have, like, bought into the hype and started talking about it.
Well, it's just like Cecil the Lion, right? The whole world freaked out over that. But the villagers that live in Africa were like, thank goodness you killed another lion. They kill our kids. They drag, they harass our villages. And they had no problems with it, right? It was the world from the outside that had the problem with it. But
well, you know, like, one of the interesting things about, you know, like, Cecil the Lion that people, you know, you don't hear talked about is that, you know, as a result of the backlash and the people, like, fearful of going over there and hunting the lions after the Cecil the Lion backlash, they had to put down 40 lions, you know, in a short period of time because the conservation numbers weren't met. So instead of, like, hunters going and paying and, you know, that being a revenue stream, you know, for the country, you know, 40 animals just got, like, slaughtered in a non-sporting way, you know, to maintain the conservation, to maintain the balance. So, like, for all the people that were sitting there going, like, oh, it's like, yeah, like, you
right.
just made the problem worse. Good job. Way to
right,
go.
Right, right. Hey, we got Mike called in. Before we bring him on, I just want to bring up one thing for our listeners tonight. This is something we had one of my Terps on a few weeks ago as a guest, Joed. And at the outcome of that show, if you haven't heard it, it's from a couple weeks ago, look it up on our Blog Talk Radio site. It was a great interview. Joed had just gotten here, been in the States less than a week. And Toby and I both felt the need to do something to help him out as he has to pay back. At the time, I thought it was State Department. I put up a correction on it. It's actually a refugee service that pays for their plane tickets. The State Department doesn't cover it, but they have to pay this service back. But so I created, like, jumped right out and created a GoFundMe page. Got some great initial reaction. Raised $390 within a couple days, literally like 2 days. But then it went quite as silent. So just asking people to go check it out. You can give whatever. I have made changes to it. The reason there's two changes on there. One is I corrected what I stated earlier. I'm talking to Joed and my other Terp. My other Terp has a wife and two kids. He has to pay back $3,800. He even sent me a picture of the bill. He's working one job. He's trying to get a second one. He has to pay back for all four plane tickets. So I raised the amount from $1,800 to $5,600 to cover both of their families, both of them and one's family. And I just corrected that it's not actually the State Department, but the cost are having to pay back the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service. So just if you get a chance, if you got a few – a little bit of scratch you can spare. They would appreciate anything. Like I say, we've raised $390 so far. We haven't raised anything really in about a week. But anything anyone could give would be greatly appreciated to help these interpreters who barely got out of Afghanistan, but helped American lives and definitely saved lives. And not only our, mine and yours, Toby, but I know our guests coming on were a big difference with that. And we counted on these guys to do our job. And you know, hopefully people can help get them settled here in the States. That's all I want to cover that real quick.
Yeah. So with no, that, and we're going to continue to support them. And I, you know, we're out there beating the streets, hoping to make this right. And you know, with everything that's you know coming up and hearing more about like the story of like the gentleman that saved Marcus Luttrell, you know, this is a real thing and a way that we can support my Terp that I got the closest to. You know, he's in the United States and thriving and doing really well. So this is a way that, you know, my family and I can continue to pay and make amends for you know, the service that was shown me in helping keep me alive at their grave risk.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, let's talk about that, and we'll bring up that topic along with others with our guests. I'm going to bring him on right now. Again, as I stated at the top of the show, a long, long time friend, both of ours. He and I are very close in a lot of ways. He's been on the show many times. And with that, I would like to welcome Mr. Michael Tuminelli. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, good. How are you? How are you doing this Tuesday evening?
Good, good. Just got done fixing the chainsaw, so now I figured I'd take a break and tell my woe story here in New Jersey. But much is going on.
Even if you were just pinning designs on Pinterest, fixing a chainsaw sounds so much cooler.
Like you just entered the show in the most manly way. You're like, I'm sorry, I was just fixing a chainsaw. My Husqvarna was acting up, and I needed to correct it.
You know what? You know me very well.
Now let's
well.
Have an intellectual conversation.
It's a Husqvarna 16-inch, you know. So it needed some TLC, so I had to get that done because I had to take some wood down this weekend. So, but, you know, other than that, you know, just watching another failed case here in New Jersey today. It was just denied this past week of Lieutenant Colonel Russell, I believe, who is, you know, still in uniform, active duty. He failed at his bid for justifiable need in New Jersey. So another one has fallen victim to the courts here in our great Garden State.
Yeah. So that let's talk about this, man. You haven't been on in a while. You're involved in this new group. I mean, I have a little bit about your background up on our show description. I don't know if there's anything else you want to kind of talk about your background, you can, but or just jump right into kind of how the Party of Six came about. and what its
mission
is.
I would like to focus on the actual members. They're all blue collar middle class guys who decided to band together. And about a year and a half ago, we are all recipients of denials of a permit to carry a handgun, which is better known in the free America as carry conceal. Regardless of all of us carry outside the state of New Jersey, none of our justifications were good enough to include the lead case, which is Albert Almeida's case, who literally right now is dealing with gunshot bullet holes in one of his buildings he maintains in Newark, multiple life-altering threats against him this past 2 weeks. I mean, this guy is the quintessential walking justifiable need up until he ends up probably on a slab of concrete. He is the lead case, and we really started getting founding around him as we all throughout the state of New Jersey came together one day in a meeting of the two-way leadership, or whatever you would like to call it at this point, and said, hey, you know, no one's really speaking for us. You have a lot of organizations doing multiple things, playing the political game, but no one's on the ground and really harnessing that New Jersey attitude of, hey, we're going to do this ourselves. We began building cases. My case was the second one. We had Dave Schultz was the third. Mark Chasen was the fourth, and so on. And what we realized was that there was not a strong enough capability here in New Jersey, so we went outside of New Jersey by recommendations of very close ties to the 2A groups outside of the state and brought in a law firm who's currently taking on the ATF for the Heller Foundation. Our goal here in New Jersey is to raise awareness that, you know, we have major obstacles here in the state compared to many other. Why do you see D.C. winning? Why do you see Maryland winning and not New Jersey? Unfortunately, New Jersey had a case in, I believe it was 2013, if I'm correct, the Drake case, which basically the Third Circuit Court upheld that, you know, New Jersey's justifiable need is fine. So we are now working to dismantle that piece by piece, and it's very slow and almost scalpel methodology to do this. So what we've done is we've banded together, and we've also called out to a leadership in New Jersey on being weak, playing backroom deals. They're more about politics than they are results. And I always warn people, you know, they always laugh about New Jersey, but guess what's coming out of New Jersey that was just initiated to the White House today? Smart gun technology by Senator Loretta Weinberg.
Oh, they trying to get the old has to recognize your fingerprint to shoot kind of thing?
Absolutely. She was in D.C. today briefing the White House on smart gun technology, which they're trying to pass a new law here in New Jersey that mandates that gun dealers stock these things.
Now, wow, you know, that's actually, you know, if you think about it, you know, those criminals who do murders and drugs and steal, I mean, if you make it a law to have a smart gun, I'm sure they would just, they don't want to break the law. I mean, you know, they have limits, right? You know, they have some morals. They wouldn't, you know, there's no way they would have a gun that didn't have that if the law was you have to have one. I mean, it seems like it makes sense, right?
Absolutely. You see throughout the country, you're seeing all these laws popping up. I mean, California was called, you know, Gun Again, I think they nicknamed it. They had like 30-something bills. We have five bills starting on June 2nd that are going through. They're actually trying to derail Chris Christie's Executive Order 180, which basically gave us two things. It did not do away with justifiable need clause, but what it did was loosen the justification to imminent threat. And number two was allowing us to have a reasonable deviation from our house to the range and range back to the house. So that means we could actually stop and have a heart attack and go to the hospital without having being arrested or using the bathroom without being arrested. I mean, you think about archaic laws, New Jersey represents them. The problem is, like I've said to many people, and our friends across the river in Pennsylvania are seeing it now, what happens in New Jersey does not stay in New Jersey. And without us taking this right to the federal level, we're never going to succeed. So we know that we have a battle ahead of us, these cases known as the Party 6 cases, which you can go to our website at www.partyofsixsix.org. You can read about our cases. We have videos. We have interviews. We are not shy. We are not hiding from anybody in the public. In fact, we have challenged New Jersey leadership multiple times in emails, tried to get them on the phone, and they refuse to support anybody's case in our party. In fact, the NRA board member, Mr. Scott Bach, the NJ, he's the New Jersey representative for the NRA, has not ever contacted us back on anything, and we're calling him out saying, what are you doing? Where is this leadership? Aren't you supposed to be representing the state of New Jersey at the highest level, pulling in support? And we've gained nothing, and we just began uncovering more and more that New Jersey really doesn't want to change. It's going to have to be forced to change, whether it's through the courts at the federal level or through a national reciprocity law.
So let me ask you real quick, let me pause you. I mean, is it because of just it being a heavy liberal state? Is it because that's just the way it's always been and people put their head in the sand and think it should stay that way? Is it just the culture, the politics of the capital? I mean, why would it not want to change?
It really is. It's a perfect storm here. You know, we have a lot of lackadaisical gun owners. They're just happy to have what they have. We have a lot of people who don't want to rock the boat at the leadership level because there's a lot of perks that come with being the face of 2A. There's also, you know, we are so divided in the state that Republicans, all they have to do is say, hey, I'm pro-gun, and they keep their seats. It's very partisan in our state. You know, the fact is the history goes back. It's so muddled almost 50 years, and we actually have this research up on our website now that you can go back and see how literally judges dictated and made law in the 60s after the Newark riots. So this is a very, very muddled and dark, you know, background for advocacy for gun control in the state of New Jersey. Back then, all you had to do was show that you were a good person and you would get your permit. And then after the 60s, all this stuff started coming in where literally it wasn't even legislators making law, it was judges. Oh, wow.
Right.
You see that at the federal level now, huh? Oh, you know? And there's even rumors, you know, and I haven't really gone back and forth, but I have somebody looking at research through one of the party members, is that, you know, if you overlay German gun laws in 33 to New Jersey gun laws, it's almost verbatim, just in English.
Really?
Yeah. And this is why people don't want us to succeed, because we are calling out a lot of stuff in New Jersey. We've had
people
tell us that.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, isn't there an outcry? I mean, are people in New Jersey pointing to, for example, the city of Detroit, where the mayor, the police chief, started encouraging all the citizens to get guns and carry guns because the police, because they filed bankruptcy and stuff, could not respond. And what we've seen since then is a big decrease in a lot of the crime because of that. And then also the cases in Chicago where they finally, you know, the state of Illinois and Chicago was forced to allow people to get concealed carry permits. And the number of good guys stopping bad guys it's nowhere near the number of shootings that are happening in Chicago, but it is definitely more than it's ever been in the past. Is anyone using those kind of stats as you know, validity of
those
of...
stats are nice to have, but they're not recognized in the state of New Jersey because New Jersey has this nice little set of statutes that says private citizens cannot hold legislators or police responsible. So in fact, if the police don't respond in 45 minutes, you can't sue them. There is no accountability in the state of New Jersey.
Either.
Yes. So what we began doing was we began voicing our opinion. Why are these things not said publicly? Why are we not calling out these anti-gunners like Senator Loretta Weinberg or Louis Greenwald, who are blatantly, you know, I mean, just, you know, they actually shut down a hearing because they were going to lose the votes. But yet our 2A leadership is not doing anything. They don't come out publicly. They're not vicious at all compared to a lot of the other states around us. Connecticut, New York's fighting back. Maryland's fighting back, D.C., you know, Illinois, even the people in California are scratching their way back. But yet here in New Jersey, we're very complacent. And I think you started seeing in the last 6 months, we've really gotten a core set of people around us, and it's going to take a lot more than that to, you know, create this awakening. But people are starting to ask hard questions. In fact, some of the organizations that a lot of our supporters are part of are asking these questions on social media and getting either banned or being told they can't post anymore. So we've hit something here in New Jersey that has begun to sting what I call the establishment of the Second Amendment organizations, basically what we like to call money collectors and ego boosters.
Right, right.
And that would be like the NRA?
That would be I try to tell people it's not the NRA's fault because the NRA uses liaisons. The liaison is the New Jersey rep who was voted in. we've found out all kinds of information, you know, and we've tried to reach out to this person and they don't respond. There's no social media site to get at him. You send him an email, you know, phone call, whatever. He doesn't have to respond. We go to other two organizations. All we're told is we're troublemakers, where we don't know what's going on. We're not smart enough to understand politics and negotiations. What I laugh at all the time is I find really funny, as well as we've actually been told our cases will do more damage to the good fight in New Jersey. Meanwhile, we've been waiting 40 years. That is why we brought in hired guns, no pun intended, to fight our cases. We had to go to Mississippi to get two men that are just lions in the arena against us. Literally, they just took on the ATF, and one of our other lawyers is taking on Hawaii. So
we'll talk about that real quick.
Sure. So our law firm out of Mississippi we contacted them and said, here is what we have. And they got back to us in about 2 weeks. This is about a couple months ago now. And they said, hey, we understand this. Right now, obviously, I can't go into how we're going to break our cases down just because of discovery. But I will tell you that the ways that we are doing it is we're going to chip away around that justifiable need in certain manners. As well as you can go on our website, you can see the law firm. It's Alan Beck and Stephen Stemblay, great guys. They have great track records. I mean, Stephen has represented the Heller Foundation. This is not some foundation that's for the weak-minded. This is a powerful organization. They're hell-bent on changing the laws of the land here. But the first thing we addressed was, why couldn't we get law firms here in New Jersey? Because it's all political. They're all connected somehow, either by cash dealings or they're either being told quietly, hey, you know, you might lose some business if you take these cases on. But yet no one wants to confirm or deny us. So when we come out to the public and say, hey, here's what's going on, we get great reactions. The average common gun owner in New Jersey, the blue-collar man and woman, is going, hey, why isn't anything changing? Why is all the other states around us changing but not us? So we've taken on a hell of a fight here. We definitely aren't the most liked guys in the state right now, I can tell you that, but that's pretty average for me.
Are you getting, like, tomatoes thrown at you on the turnpike?
No, we'll have people, when we reach out to different, organizations via internet, they'll say, hey, we're not really sure about this, or we'll get people who, hey, we're running with this story. The next couple of weeks, once we officially file in federal court in Newark, New Jersey, we're going to be on the steps, we're going to have some photos done. I think that's when really people will realize the seriousness of what we're trying to do here. We are not we've told people from day one about transparency and integrity. We've kept everybody who supported us via Facebook, via emails, via our website, here's what's going on. We've never hid from the truth. We've had setbacks, we've had successes, but we're not flying blind realizing that we may win this. We may end up going all the way and still losing, but it's a hell of a lot more than what's being done by these professional organizations here in New Jersey.
Do you think that's why they're booing you all? Because just the others are kind of like, you know, they're not really doing anything and they just think it'll just go away?
Yeah, I think they think we're going to fail. Unfortunately, they don't realize that guys like us don't go away. You know, all these guys are fighters in their own way. They all have strong backgrounds and commitment to this. We've done T-shirts to raise, you know, to thank people. We actually have a great young guy, 20-something-year-old guy, who's creating a nice one-off leather holster for us. It's going to have our symbol on it, and on the backdrop of the holster, it's going to have the U.S. Constitution. We've had people come in and do our website for us for free of charge, donate their time, and really ramp up our website. People are donating in different ways, but we're also finding, again, that people are starting to really get annoyed, and they want some damn answers, and we're not getting any. It's status quo, and all we're ever told is, well, you have to change the legislature. Well, this is New Jersey. We do have pro-gun Democrats in this legislature. No one knows how to bring them out and work with them as a force multiplier. And again, we hear, well, you guys aren't smart enough to understand New Jersey politics. And, you know, for me, I personally laugh. I'm like, you know, I and I always tell them, so this is harder than dealing with, you know, key leader engagements in foreign languages?
This is harder than trying to get
New Jersey politics than, just global politics, other than the corruption level. It hasn't been that long since, you know, the headlines are raked with corruption headlines coming out of New Jersey politics. So, like,
you know, and I mean, people back Chris Christie, and listen, we know the game he was playing. It is what it is. He's only got less than about a year and a half, and we have some really doozies coming in here who want to run for governor on the liberal side. But it still goes back to, we have, you know, everyone wants to wait for the legislature and do the vote. You know what? The liberal base never waits for that. They win in the courts. They win by popular pressure and social pressures. They control the narrative. Well, that's what we're trying to do now, is build this force and work through. Once we file, we'll be able to go national with the fundraisers and put on some very prominent sites that will approve it. Because, you know, again, I respect their right to say, hey, you guys got to make that next step before we can validate this. I have no qualms about what they're asking us to do or waiting for us to provide that information. We have some friends who are running YouTubes that are going to run, you know, videos on it and stuff like that. This is, you know, guys who have working 40 to 60 hours or more a week. We have families. We have other responsibilities. You know, being the only government employee on the side, I've taken somewhat of a beating in the last year. It's very interesting to see this colonel come out who divulges a lot of information that I didn't even come close to see what the Army's reaction is going to be.
Yeah, so
if
how's
you look
that
at
going?
My
he,
videos and my
case,
information, I never provide specific clearance levels, specific job titles or duties as assigned currently. I've talked about my past and stuff like that, but that's all that was on a resume, and that was cleared. But now you have a colonel who's come out in uniform and saying, hey, I have this clearance, I do this, da-da-da. Wow, now does that change the aspect in the attention level in New Jersey? I don't know.
Yeah, so that's that colonel that just came out. He's up there at Picatinny Arsenal. It's all in open source. Is that the case that just got shot down today?
Yeah, I believe it was shot down this past week. I had been gone in Georgia, so I wasn't really tracking a lot. I was stuck on some ranges down there, sweating profusely. So,
wow. So he's getting a good quick introduction to New Jersey politics, and probably some Army politics too, I would imagine.
I would imagine so. You know, again, I took some quiet heat, you know, but I never divulged my clearance levels. I never divulged my exact, you know, position or even location. And now that this guy's information is now, people are starting to, and again, hey, he did what he had to do. It is what it is. Unlike me, though, or one of my counterparts, Albert Almeida, who lives in the same county, he actually lives in Monmouth County, which is near home of Fort Monmouth, the old Fort Monmouth. So he's actually down in a different county, and he was told the same exact thing. Hey, that's great. You have these clearances. I'm really sorry, but there's no immediate threat of someone trying to cut your family's head off. So too bad. Pound sand.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, when they had that case.
Right.
Yeah, the case of a young lady that was last year, right? That was wearing
Carol
her pistol.
Boney, yep.
Yeah, that
Carol.
Caused. I mean, that had a quick spurt of info. It was on the media. Then did everyone kind of just shove that back under and act like it never happened? I mean, in New Jersey.
Well, this is where the hard questions ask: who really controlled the narrative? Who had the power to exploit that to no end? Her brother was willing to come out and talk about it. And it went silent. So now you have to start asking questions. Was it really the liberal media, or was it our own side? Because guess who was getting ready to run for president?
Right,
these are all
right.
Timely things. If you take a step back and start doing, you know, data analysis, hey, this timing is this timing is that. And again, you know, many people have talked to Carol's family. I have not, so I'm not going to say anything. All I know is what I've been told by Party of Six members who have spoken with them directly. You know, they were furious, and that's part of what drove EO 180. In fact, in the EO document, which you can go and find on our website, it specifically states from the state's findings that justifiable need will not hold up in a federal level. Now, that's not to say Third Circuit. That may be a higher-level court like SCOTUS. Who knows? But New Jersey knows at some point their justifiable need is going to fall. It's just delaying inevitable. But who is willing to take this on? The right law firm, the right candidates, however it may fall out or play out, is really what we're working on. But we're also working against heavy loads here. You think that multiple 2A organizations would jump behind this just to stick it in the legislators' eyes during what is soon to be a gubernatorial race in 2017? but yet we're silent. This is just like what you're seeing with the Trump phenomenon in the establishment. You know, are you with us or are you against us? A lot of people are starting to believe, hey, maybe these people really aren't for us, and it's time for a change.
What do you think, like, while we're on the subject, like, what do you think of, you know, how the veteran community is kind of reacting to Trump?
I think, you know, I guess it depends what veteran community you're looking at. I mean, there's certain, obviously, very left-wing veteran communities that are probably going to, you know, do all kinds
of
stuff.
Well, they came straight to a clash today, at, you know, at his, one of his rallies, or maybe it was yesterday.
No, it was
where,
today.
You know, both sides, you know, like went at each other, and you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, like you know how they go at it. I'm personally like surprised that any veteran gets behind Hillary, knowing that Hillary clearly, via track record, has shown no direct support for either any legislation for veterans. Or by virtue of the fact that she has, like, absolutely no respect for law and order and, you know, and left our brothers to die. So I'm really surprised that anyone would get behind her. However, you know, like, you know, to each his own, I find it really interesting how, like, you know, they feel like veterans are being used as props. And, of course, while this debate's going on, he was surrounded by some of the greatest of generations, you know, behind him. So, like, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about how they're, like, squaring off? Like,
well, let me take two steps back. Let me tell you, as just an example of lack of using veteran power, again, organizations in New Jersey refuse to work with veterans organizations for pro-gun, you know, advocacy here, which we've brought up numerous times. Again, it just shows me that the establishment doesn't really care left or right about us. Number two, let's talk about Clinton. You know, I think she actually does support veterans in one way. She uses them as proxy pieces to, you know, create instability throughout the globe and then cash in on it. Our bodies are just stacked to her piggy bank. You know, she just tends to walk on the backs of the dead. And then the final part of that for you know, the support or not support of Trump, I was a Cruz guy. I've always been a Cruz guy since he jumped in. And, you know, I liked what he had to offer. But then I also realized something talking to somebody the other day is you can't always get what you want. But this behemoth that we're facing at the federal level and all the nonsense with, you know, safe spaces and changing the cultural narratives and, you know, denouncing heroes and denouncing religious sites and all these memorials is we have to have something that is the intermediate that helps change. You know, you can't – everyone always said, right, you can't turn, you know, an aircraft carrier in a minute. Cruz and the Rand Pauls are not of what today needs. They may be 4 years from now, eight years from now. I'm not sure. Is Trump the perfect candidate by all means? No. Is he going to be perfect to veterans? Maybe not. But he is a changing force. Now, we've all been in the military where we have great changes and bad changes, but change comes one way or another. It's all how you adapt to it. I think that veterans groups squaring off with each other really shows the divide. In my own personal biasness, and I can hold only myself accountable for this, I think it's the war you fought and how you came home. I think that's all that's based on is the individual veteran's life in the military, what they achieved or did not achieve, what they, you know, are remorseful for or not, really puts you on what side of the fence you want to be on. There's a lot of us who are hard-hitting, and we're going to take the good with the bad, and we know what's best for the country. Because we're putting the country first. We may need a leader that gets us there eventually, and it may be completely, I don't know, absolutely horrible. I don't know much how worse we can get at this point. But, you know, people talk about this. Is it the national, you know, view versus the globalist view? I really think it is has come down to be that simplistic. I think most veterans believe in that national side, that borders, that I'm going to walk outside my house and you know, I wrote a piece many, many years ago about, you know, the colors of my life. And it is about that. It's those things that we can touch and feel and remember. The other side is about anger. And it's about, I was robbed. I was told I'm going to go fight the war on terror, and I got sent to Iraq. And I think they were underwhelmed uneducated and overwhelmed. I think a lot of them had this false bravado that ended up playing out very badly for them. And now they want to they want to do something. They want to be like the John Kerrys of after Vietnam or during Vietnam. Well, be my guest. You want to throw your medals against the wall and spit on people and talk bad. That's your God-given right. You fought for that. But I think they've forgotten how much they have given to get to that point. So they have to live with that, just like, you know, probably the three of us have to live that. We're, you know, carnivores, and we fix chainsaws, and, you know, we're going to lube down with gun oil and be fathers and husbands and best friends.
That's right.
Lubing down with some CLP and REM oil. That's what I'm talking about. That's it. Man, if it doesn't smell like hot wine, it don't smell, right? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think when we get to it, man, is that veterans have a choice to make, and it's probably not going to be pretty, because we're just like, you know, I have friends who are in the police department. They're pro-liberal because they want their big pensions, and they want to get free, and they just want their shit and get out of there, pardon my language. You know, but then there's cops who are like, hey, I want my family to be protected. I want my wife to be able to carry a gun outside of her home when I'm not there. I want my children protected, and I want people to understand that the rule of law is meant for a reason. Yes, our God-given rights are given by the man upstairs, but the rule of law must be necessary. And when the rule of law fails to protect the citizen of the republic instead of the migrant or the illegal, then we have, you know, descended into chaos very quickly.
You bring up a good point. You mentioned the law enforcement, and I mean, that could be a whole other topic. But, you know, this whole thing that's been recently about the Ferguson effect, you know, the whole – you know, the number of arrests and going down, and the number of crimes going up because police who are, you know, called upon by people who are bashed by people, and every time they step out of their car have a phone in their face to video them, anyone trying to antagonize them, you know, don't want to put their careers and you know, livelihoods, if not life, at risk anymore. It's not even worth it. So you bring up a good point. I imagine it puts a lot of them. I know some of the law enforcement officers I know, it really puts them in a quandary. I know you know quite a few too, as they you know, raise their hand to protect the people and protect their community, but you know, members of their own community really put them in a conflict to even do that, because they're trying to hang them every second they can.
I think with our brothers and sisters in blue, much like the military had to pay for their you know, I don't want to say crimes, but their perceived crimes and their offenses after Vietnam, this is what the law enforcement community is paying for now for the 80s and early 90s. This retribution is now coming back onto them for the piss poor decisions made by their leadership and individual police officers. And many police officers and I have talked about this. What is this storm coming at them has started well before they probably even joined the force, but now they're the recipients of it. Even some of them themselves have been, you know, done incorrect things. But as a whole force across the United States, they are now feeling that backlash. Whether it's warranted or not, it is perceived, and perceived, you know, perception is deadly as anything else. So,
right.
Just, you know, what I think you're seeing now, too, is this fear in many, in at least in my state, when I talk to police officers and people like, well, how's your wife going to protect yourself when you're not around? Because they can't even get a permit to carry. In fact,
we have
retired law enforcement officers being denied as well, even though they're covered under H.R. 218.
Right, right. Hey, I was going to ask you, Mike, have you seen the website heyjackass.com?
No, I try to avoid those things at work.
No, I highly encourage you. I know it sounds like a bait, but I highly encourage you, the nun, and any of our
Straight
listeners to go
bait.
Check it out.
The reason why I say check it out,
is someone, the Hey Jackass part, I believe, is geared towards the president. It is someone that runs constant stats on all the shootings and murders in Chicago and Chicago alone. The amount of infographics and real-time statistics going up is amazing. I looked at it this weekend for the first time, just because they consider the Memorial Day weekend the start of the summer shooting and stupidity season. They start there. But they have where the rounds impacted on the bodies, wounded, killed by race, where in Chicago, everything. Just to give you an idea, I was watching this weekend, and they were updating in real time as this weekend had 7 killed and 68 wounded in Chicago.
Holy moly.
Last year, Last year they had 8 killed, 24 wounded. 2014, 9 killed, 27 wounded. But this weekend, this Labor Day weekend, from Friday till Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., 7 killed, 68 wounded.
So it's what's the takeaway there, that they're just not shooting as accurately this year as they haven't? I mean, they drank too much?
I think they're more just, you know, if you wound, someone's got to come get them or something. I don't know, right? But
I think it's more just breathing and trigger, you know, manipulation.
Yeah.
I think, you know, less range time, that tends to happen.
So some of the stats they have up there to date, year to date, there's been 230 killed, 1,295 shot and wounded, a total of 1,525 shot in the city of Chicago proper. This is May 31st.
Did you say 1,500?
1,525 shot total, right?
Here in New Jersey, we have a one of our local organizations, Hispanics for New Jersey Gun Rights, are a great organization, trying to work in the inner cities and everything like that. One of the moderators always puts up what's going on in Newark, and I think we're at like 156 shootings, 69 carjackings. They're posting the same stats, and yet all you hear about, well, we need to punish those who are law abiding, and we just,
right.
You know, the insanity. But the reality is that globalist mentality versus national mentality, and more and more as we speak to friends in the community, Troy, as we know, you know, we're really starting to see these narratives play out. And the sad part is, 3 years ago, people would have thought you're some conspiracy theorist, and it's right here in plain day. Now, I mean, Katie Kirk literally being found out, she's lying and editing and overdubbing. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. And as if there's no repercussions. So how do you fight that on a daily basis? Hence why we decide to do it locally. And, you know, we have a daunting task. Like I said, we're trying to raise, if we go to the Supreme Court, we have to go about $175K to do it. But we're asking people, you know, $5 donations, $1 donation. If that's it, put down the Budweiser and the pack of Marlboro Reds and donate. And I think once we file at the federal level in a couple of weeks, I want to send you guys some photos of it. There'll be some interesting, you know, signs thrown up with our hands, you know. But, it's the same thing. We're fighting the urban areas who are just they're under siege. And
we
actually have, you know, we've been told that the local departments in those cities are literally telling minorities, yeah, we don't give out handgun permits. You know, you have cops who are complaining that they're getting, you know, hammered by the press and by the public opinion, but yet there are literally videos. If you research East Orange in New Jersey and Newark, New Jersey police departments, you can see undercover videos of these people being denied even the application.
Right. Yeah. That's why I want to bring up this site. And if it may help, you know, visuals, everything, it may help get it out, but yeah, it's when you start looking at these numbers that a person's shot every 2 minutes, 24 seconds, that they're murdered every 14 minutes, 10 seconds, you know, that in the month of May alone, they've already had this as of 3:51 this afternoon, Eastern time, they've had 398 total shot in just this month. Maybe this is what it takes. I know it looks like it's a lot of work. I imagine you could contact the people that are doing this, but you know, Newark, Trenton, probably other parts
Camden,
of the country
aren't
too far.
East Orange.
Yeah. They're probably not too far off of Chicago. I bet you could, if they would probably work with you. Just be something to check out. I came across the other day. I was amazed at the amount of data and the analysis they're doing on this. But
absolutely. I mean, whatever can help us. Cause again, you know, we're inundated here. We're blue collar guys working with our law team. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go speak at a Tea Party meeting locally about our organization, what we're trying to achieve. Apparently, a congressman is going to be there who's running for re-election. So, you know, I'm definitely going to grab that skipper's ear. Like, hey, come here. I need to talk with you.
Right. Hey, well, you know, we're winding up, Mike. We got to be we're getting to the end of the show. Just where can people, you know, find out more about you? How can they help and support? You know, where can they follow you and tweet you or
hey,
do whatever?
Wherever you guys are, you know, obviously, you know, we're raising funding as we're taking this to the highest level courts. You can go again to www.partyofsix.org. You can spell out the word six.org. You'll read all of our information, where to donate. You can send us emails and questions. We have, if you're traveling to the state of New Jersey, you dare, you know, to take your gun into the state, we have all the regulations for you. We'll answer your questions, what to do and not do. But again, www.partyofsix.org. And I'll post something to you guys to just share again. I know you posted it for us, and, you know, for the Party of Six, and and everybody here behind literally the lines in New Jersey. We really appreciate you guys allowing us to tell our story tonight.
Dude, absolutely. Yeah, man, anytime. This is good info, and you're right. Anyone's traveling to New Jersey, you better check with these guys at Party of Six or check before you walk in, because as we've seen already, ignorance is not an excuse when it comes to the laws of New Jersey. They will hang you out to dry. So, hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Keep us up on what's happening, especially if you guys make any major inroads and you know, heck, if you're about to go to the Supreme Court, it'd be awesome if it has to get to that. But yeah, keep us up, and thanks a lot for giving up some of your Tuesday evening with us.
All right, guys, thank you, and you guys stay frosty.
All right, you
always.
Too, man. Go get that chainsaw working.
All right, later, guys.
All right, bye. All right, Mr. Mike Tuminelli, partyofsix.org. Man, he's got a fight in front of him. He's not shy of a fight, is he, Toby?
No, like, and that's why we like Mike T. You know, he's always there to throw down when it's necessary. And you know, this is a bold, audacious move that they're making. And so, like, you know, I wish them the best. I hope it works out. I myself, living the Republic of Texas, enjoy the firearm liberties that we have here. I believe they are rights. Not just liberties, but rights. And, you know, that's why I can't live anywhere else. So I feel for him, and I know all he wants to do is protect his family. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's a good example of doing the hard right instead of the easy wrong, right? It's easy to sit back and just bitch and complain and do nothing. It takes a certain level of intestinal fortitude to know you're about to get yourself in a world of hurt, give up some family time, personal time, and who knows, money and whatever else. But he's doing what he believes in, and that's, you know, that is what makes America great. That is what this country
that's
is
right.
about. You know?
That's right.
So what do you got, brother? We got 3 minutes left. You got some bald man ranting you want to do?
Yeah, no, just real quickly, you know, first and foremost, you know, I want to thank everybody that took the time to, like, via text message, Facebook, phone call, you know, all the different means, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it was that they did to reach out and wish me a happy Memorial Day. Thanks. You know, I wanted to say thanks for them doing that. Now, I know that day is not designed or intended for me. However, you know, a lot of people feel like they want to do that, and I understand it. And I'm not mad about it, and I don't feel the need to correct them. And the reason for that is, like, if you go to a funeral, you know, say it's the funeral of, like, one of your friend's kids. When you go home, like, what's the very first thing you do? You hug your kids, right? Because they're there. There's something that you can do about it. You hug the family. You talk and interact with those that you can, because those that are no longer with us, you cannot interact. You know, I think people get a little too wrapped around the edges about what the day is for and how, like, they feel the need to correct. And I just don't think that's necessary. I think that's just continuing to drive, and, you know, like, the civilian population. We need to bridge that gap versus make it greater. And I think, again, we're being our own worst enemies, and we need to get over ourselves. So that's what I got. Get over ourselves and be grateful that such men lived, celebrate their lives. And
right.
Women.
No, I'm with you. I wrote a big piece on Memorial Day. I put up pretty much around the same thing. You know, we should just be thankful they even have a day. And if 99% of America doesn't really get the difference, or 95% or whatever, so be it. Hey, at least they're reaching out. At least they're thanking you. You know, none of us joined, raised our right hand and joined to have someone thank us on a certain day. That was not the reason. So we should be appreciative of that. You know, it is what it is. Like I say, time to get over ourselves and just realize, hey, at least our country, we take time to do that. Because there's other countries, modernized, westernized countries like Germany, that absolutely do not do that. I mean, they have no concept. But I'm with you. We'll both count that for both of ours, Bald Mayor Rants. And with that, man, I think we're about wrapped up.
See everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in.
See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Stew and the Nun tonight. We're always grateful for our listeners, both live and those who check us out on the archive.
Be sure to check out our website at www.stewandthenun.com and like our page, Stew and the Nun, on Facebook, and follow Stew and the Nun on Twitter. And of course, be sure to join us again next week and every week here on blogtalkradio.com/Stew and the Nun every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You all have a good night.